If you want to avoid a marriage that is headed for divorce, almost guaranteed, you have to be able to read the signs. Today we have 7 signs of your readiness for marriage. And if you know them and you know what to look for, you can really stop something bad from happening. Find yourself in a situation that you're like, should I have said I do? I don't know. Welcome to and welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage podcast, where two are better than one in marriage because they get a good reward for their labor. And if one is there to fall, I'm sorry, if one is there, if one were to fall, the other one is there to pick them back up. I'm Ronald Corsi Jr.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi, and we're still married.
Still married. I missed that completely. See, when we first said it, we would say, hey, we say still married at the same time. But when fatigue and tiredness sets in, you're just like, nah, she got that part. Yeah. She'll figure it out.
We are still married.
We are still married. It's a beautiful thing to be in a loving relationship. I really don't know how people do it where they're just like, yeah, I'm with him, but ugh. Mm-hmm. Or I'm with her, but she don't love me.
Yeah, it's rough.
And it's just like, man, that's a horrible existence. But if they were to know the signs to look for, you see that? That's a segue.
Yes.
If people were to know the signs, if you know the signs to look for, and you know, it's not even just knowing the signs, Chelsea. It's taking heed to the sign. Mm-hmm. People see stop signs and red lights all the time. Sometimes it's just like, nah, I don't believe in red lights. Mm-hmm. It's green lights for me, bruh. It's green lights for me, bruh. Like, it's ain't no stop signs, ain't no warning cautions. Nah, I'm good. I'm just going to do what I want to do.
I just have to interject. I just learned how to spell segue like 2 days ago.
Are you trying to say it's not S-E-G-W-A-Y?
It is not.
Wow.
Right?
So we're illiterate on the Better Than One Marriage podcast. Yeah. Great marriage, can't spell. Okay.
It's spelled segue.
Segue, as in S-E-G-U-W. S-E-G, like tongue?
Yes.
Man, that's baloney. People just be making stuff up, man. Yep. Come on. My moose and meese.
As in Q.
As in Q.
Yes, the music.
So S-E-G-U-E-W-A-Y.
No.
What? No, I'm sorry. S-E.
S-E-G-U-E. That's it.
What? That's balagna. That's balagna, man. Like, I can't accept that.
You going to put it W-A-Y at the end anyway. I'm cracking up.
It has to. There's no way it's segueing W-A-Y in it. Like, what are we doing here?
Segway.
What are we doing here, English language? Have mercy. So today we have 7 ready signs for marriage. Mm-hmm. It says to you, either I am ready for marriage in this area or I am not ready in this area. Mm-hmm. Here's the beautiful thing. In general, an average human being probably isn't ready in some area. Right? And that's okay.
Yeah, but you're never completely ready.
Right? You're never completely ready. You just want to be in a position and a heart posture that you can at the very least get ready.
Yes. Get ready.
And have some of these already ready. You know what I mean? You don't want to be batting 0-for-7 talking about, yeah, I'm going to just do it anyway and trust God.
Yikes.
It's like, I believe in trusting God. Mm-hmm. However, I also believe in not being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Let's not be filthy and let's do everything in order. Decency and in order.
Yes.
Right? You don't say to God, I want to get married, get me the man. And he's like, hey, maybe we can work on you being holy. Or maybe we can work on you not fornicating so much.
Mercy.
Before you just want to fall into like, hey, I want to be completely dedicated to this one person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're having trouble being dedicated to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm perfect. So that's a whole other issue, right?
Wow.
So I don't know if you're sorry.
Selah.
Selah. Right, you're asking God to bless you with somebody that you can dedicate your life for, and he's like, hold on, you're supposed to actually dedicate your life to me. Mm-hmm. And then we can work everything else out.
And you're struggling with me, who does not offend you.
Correct. Yeah, you're struggling with me. Well, I ain't gonna say he don't offend you, but he's right.
Right. He might do stuff you don't want him to do, but he ain't gonna actually treat you bad.
Certainly.
call you out your name or nothing like that.
Call you all outside your name.
He ain't going to cheat on you or nothing.
That's funny. That is very funny. He ain't going to cheat on you. So here's our first ready sign. And they're not necessarily in a particular order, but we are starting with finance. Mm-hmm. Are you prepared to have no secrets? Mm. Are you prepared to not have an account that nobody's known
in
about?
The Caymans.
This is funny. It reminds me of Girlfriends, Chels. Wonderful sitcom as mm-hmm. far as being funny. And Tony is like, Tony, who is very superficial.
Yeah.
And she's only dating rich men. Mm-hmm. And she thinks she's everything. She played her part really well, which is funny. But she ends up in a position where she has no money, but she doesn't actually share. She actually does have money, but it's her never going back to Fresno fund, mm-hmm. where it's like $500,000, and it's like just in case things mm-hmm. really go bad, mm-hmm. which is like, man, wish I had that on the side.
Right.
Like if things really go bad.
Yeah.
This is my I'm not going back to Fresno fun. Mm-hmm. Nice, but I have no money right now. But hey, I'm not that bad. I'm okay. Still got a place to live. I still eat food every day.
Right.
It's like in marriage, people come in with baggage.
Yeah.
And we don't always think about financial baggage, Jules.
Debt. Bad habits.
Certainly bad habits.
Illiteracy.
As we already know, can't spell Segway. You can't spell Segway. You can't balance a checkbook. No. What's a checkbook? That's so old. You don't understand transactions, debts, and credits, right?
And just budgeting.
And just how you were raised. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. like if you were raised being like, hey, just get everything on a credit card and figure that out later.
Yeah. Ooh.
Somebody has said that. If you're a person that has said that, number one, subscribe to the Better Than Marriage One. Better Than One. I can't even get it out. Better Than One Marriage podcast. Because we can help you with that. Mm-hmm. As far as making horrible marriage mistakes. Just being like, you know what? I think we should just buy everything on credit cards and just pay the minimum.
We have an episode on finances.
That's our marriage motto. Pay the minimum.
Yikes. Woo. All right.
Yeah. But and when I think about like my financial habits and your financial habits when we first got together, I think they were pretty different. I think we both were drawing though.
I mean, dude, the thing is, I feel like we just weren't at all intentional about anything.
Not at all.
Neither one of us were like irresponsible.
Not truly irresponsible.
Not truly, not where like I'm spending money I don't have.
Right.
I can say for myself, I never was, I knew how much money I had.
Yes.
And I knew that I could not spend more than that.
That's a fair point.
And I knew how long I had until I got more money.
That's very
like,
astute.
You know, some people are like,
I don't know.
Oh, dang, it's Tuesday and I'm out of money and I ain't getting no more money till Friday. What do I do?
It's like,
this Coach bag is nice. I don't think either one of us were like there.
Those people are really out there too. That's
so
funny.
God bless them.
But I'll be blaming people's parents. Either you're just ignorant and you just don't care, or people raised you like that and you don't know any better.
You know, I also think about people who were so taken care of mm-hmm. that they've never had to actually pay attention, because it's just it runs out and then it just appears again.
Yep.
I've never had to work for my money. And my money I never had to work for
right.
money. It's just, oh, I want this. Hey, mom. Hey, dad. Hey, grandma, grandpa.
Yeah.
And then it just comes.
It certainly does.
And then one day. One day it don't come no more.
Generally, right? Unless you're somebody
you're
on
like,
a show.
Wait a minute. I got to figure out how to make this stretch.
Yeah. If you ain't got no, super rich daddy who just mm-hmm. loves you endlessly and just doesn't care. Which eventually, hedge fund or whatever fund,
yes,
daddy fund kids, and, mm-hmm. and eventually he says, you know what, I'm done with this, mm-hmm. kicking up, you're cut off, and they're like, what, daddy? Like, no. What do you mean cut off? Like, I thought you loved me,
right?
I do love you, but you got to learn the lesson. Then they might be too far gone. So the key to that is like, put it into your kids early, and I think that's something that we miss. Mm-hmm. Is like. Do they even know that actually the real value of a dollar? Or do they actually know what to do with money when they get it?
Right.
And that's a hard one.
You know, something I can say is as a teenager, I would be gifted large amounts of money.
Just balling.
More than like the typical teenager around me had.
Yeah, not 50.
Nah. And hundreds. But I think the value of that was that my dad was always like a bargain hunter. Mm-hmm. I don't think I really had good habits. I think I understood the, like, you know, that you want to get more for your money rather than less. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always been in my mind that it's like, I'd rather get, you know, 20 things for this amount of money than get 2 things for this amount of money.
Yeah.
So I've never been drawn to, like, you know, name brand high price tag things. Like, that turns me off. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was, and I got used to, like, okay, this is how much money I have.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's my birthday. I got to wait till Christmas.
Oh, boy.
It's August. I got to wait till December.
Yes.
For this to happen again. I don't have no job.
Certainly.
You know, obviously, if I really need something or I just want something small in between, mm-hmm. you know, I have a parent that will help. But, like, you know, I want to stretch my money out.
Yeah.
So, like, I did kind of already have, like, I've never been happy about shelling out large amounts of money.
Right.
However, I had to be aware of, like, the gradual progression of small amounts of money.
Yeah.
Because they add up on you on the sneak tip. They
certainly do.
And like that was something I had to adjust to. Like, oh, it's just dollar menu
mm-hmm.
every day.
For several days.
for a month.
Yes.
Oh, what happened to my $500?
It's gone. Been gone. Yeah. Burgered it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That situation.
Not that anything's
funny.
Wrong with name brand, but no. You know what I'm saying.
And here's where I feel like you have to also ingrain your finances into your kids. It's like sometimes it's better to actually pay more.
Sometimes it is.
Right?
Absolutely.
Actually, I honestly would say most times it's better to pay more. Most
if you
times.
Got it.
If
mm-hmm.
you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you don't have it, and people mess up this when they start their marriage
mm-hmm.
with like, hey, let's get a wedding we can't afford. Like,
and that's all I'm saying.
Right. Let's start here.
That's all I'm saying. You got to work up to that for the
you
most
do.
Part.
For the most part. Depending on your situation, because some mm-hmm. people have been prepared
mm-hmm.
and they have it. And mm-hmm. look, if you have 60 grand or 100 grand to pay for a wedding, and then you have it, hey.
Can we clarify what you mean by we have it?
Okay, let's go here. You have said inside of yourself as an adult or a teen or a child, hey, when I get married, I want it to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So at that moment, you said, I'm going to start saving up money in order to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you eventually go to a time where I am now entrothed, betrothed mm-hmm. rather, right? I was going to say enthralled, but that's both bad, right? I am betrothed,
uh-huh.
I am engaged, and I'm going to be married. Let me now look at that account that I have or have had. Now, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what stage you started. You could have started when you was 5, said, I'm going to be a bride.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get this account together. Is there these liabilities? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have been when you were a teen. It could have been when you were 30. It don't matter.
It don't matter.
But what actual money you have in
that
account.
That you literally have.
That have. Not you can get.
Not qualify for.
Because if your credit score is high enough, they'll loan you anything. They don't care. They don't care. You can be paying back for your wedding for the next 50 years. They don't mm-hmm. care as long as you're paying. Thank mm-hmm. you. Appreciate it. We'll give you $100,000.
Mercy.
My credit score is high, Chels.
Amen.
We could have had $100,000 wedding.
Amen.
That would have been stupid.
Right.
Right? And it's only stupid if that's, because here's the key. People can do what you want with your money.
Yeah.
But it's about being financially ready to understand that it's not you anymore.
Right, right.
It's like we are literally building a future together. I can't make decisions based off of my habits or based off of what I think is right. Let's actually come together and establish what is right
mm-hmm.
and make a plan going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So now you guys can decide together. We want to spend this amount mm-hmm. for a wedding. And then you have to sit there and say, okay, well, how much are we going to have left? Mm-hmm. What do we want to do after?
Can we park there
Let's
just
park.
For a second?
Let's park.
How much are we going to have left?
Right.
That is what else we mean by how much you have.
Yes.
Because if you don't have anything left after you spend it, then you don't have it.
That's right.
You have to have money left.
Yes.
Like life is going to go on after you purchase whatever that is.
Yes.
You know, whether it be the wedding, a car, a house, a whatever, couch, furnishings,
anything.
Whatever it is. If you don't have no money left after that, you didn't have it to spend.
Yes.
And that is something to learn. Like, you mm-hmm. don't deplete your funds at any time because there are unforeseeable
certainly
things
yes
that pop up. Like, yeah, you had the money to spend on those Louboutins.
That's true.
And you bought them.
Yep.
And now you don't have no money left
for your rent.
For, well, let's say you did pay your bills.
Amen.
And now you pay for the Louboutins.
Amen.
But now you don't have no savings left.
Nothing.
You don't have no extra money left.
No cushion.
And now your car breaks down.
It does. Because it's a Hyundai. You got Louboutins, but you in a Pinto.
You in a Civic.
You in a Hyundai. You in a Pontiac Grand Am 01. You in a PT Cruiser.
I mean.
You in something regular.
That's
but
funny.
You got some Louboutins.
For sure, though. For
they
sure.
They look good on your foot.
Right. I mean, it looks nice. You know, and that's the thing. So if you have it, great.
Yes.
But if you don't have it, not good.
Good. So the ready sign for you being financially ready for marriage is that you are ready to have no secrets in your finances and be prepared to make new habits.
Yeah.
That work for
habits.
Both of you. That are healthy.
I like that. That work for both of you.
Yes.
Because sometimes, you like you were saying, you might have two different ways of going about things. And neither way may be wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just you need to agree on what those things are.
You do.
You need to be prepared to be transparent.
Yeah.
And flexible.
And yeah, don't be agreeing on some foolishness.
Indeed.
Yeah, agree on what's good,
yeah,
healthy.
Hold each other accountable.
Yeah. Amen. Number two. Emotionally, can you, which means you can or someone can to you, tell you how they feel without being emotional. Which means this. Yes, very good. So I can feel angry with you without being angry with you when I tell you that I am.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm emotionally stable enough to convey how I feel without allowing my emotions to overtake the situation, right? The average argument between a married couple is somebody being mad about how somebody said something.
Yeah.
Most of the time, especially in communication. Like, you're not mad at, it's funny because a guy at the job was being super aggressive and saying some foul stuff about his wife. Not foul, but just stuff that was like, why would you say that? That's not, like, you know, I wouldn't even call my woman that, and I wouldn't say that to her. And I really thought immediately in my head, it's just like, wow, what they say is like, most of the time you can say almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you say it the right way.
It's true.
Whether disrespectful or not.
Yeah, it's true.
But most times we just can't find it in ourselves, it seemed like. And you just start spraying out something and you say it in a way that's just like, I didn't appreciate how you said that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not what you said. But when the emotions come into it, they can overtake.
Yeah.
And now we're like children.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Bible says that. And I'm literally thinking of scripture right now. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I acted as a child. I thought as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became a child, when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Mm.
Children act, talk, and then think.
Yeah.
Right?
Impulsivity.
But a man or a woman would think, then act, and then say something, right? Before they ever just spewed anything out.
That's good.
Out of emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I agree.
Amen.
Nothing to add to that?
Nope.
Okay, cool.
Selah.
Means I said good things. Amen. Number three, spiritually. Like I said, these aren't necessarily in order. Like we value a relationship with God over everything.
Yeah.
But it says spiritually, God and his will are more important to you than being married or a wedding. Uh-oh.
Mercy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So, and now it's like, people get into weddings or even marriages or relationships and not realizing this is a relateship.
Mm-hmm.
We are relating to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And how you relate to God will dictate how you relate to all others.
That's true.
So now you want to be married and have a wedding. But once again, without a spiritual connection and relationship with God, what is the point of anything? Like literally anything. Like what does it give?
What is the point and what is the hope?
There is no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly no hope. You can hope to just have a decent life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, after that.
Yeah.
And I think back to somebody, it was a woman who, I know who she is, but I won't say her name, who was getting married to a guy and something wasn't right. And God bless her father. She said her father, I assume he just has discernment or knew something wasn't right, and says to her, I don't care how much money has been spent. If it's not right, call it off.
Mm.
And she did.
Wow.
Amazing. Shout out to that father. I'm a little cheaper, Chelsea. I don't know. Like, we done spent money. Now, look.
You're going to marry this boy.
You're going to marry this boy.
There's going to be a wedding.
Something's y'all
find
gonna,
somebody else. Yes. Somebody's meeting you at the altar.
Yes. Somebody's going to meet you at this altar.
Marry yourself. I don't know.
Yes. Somebody's getting married today. I don't know who it's going to be.
No. No. It's yes. It's not. Wow.
Yeah.
It's not worth it, though.
It's not. It's like, how are you going to?
And that's the thing. Like, I don't think people really understand the gravity of marriage all the time.
Yeah.
Because I think that when you look at marriage, from especially nowadays with social media, you know, these little trailers, the wedding trailers.
Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh.
They be getting you, huh?
Oh, my goodness. With the, like, everybody's makeup is elaborate. Everybody's hair is elaborate. The dresses, the tuxes, the everything to the nines, you know? Yeah. And then just everything is just so beautiful and lovely. And they just show you, like, this 5-minute clip of, like, gorgeous bliss.
Yes.
And then you look at, like, movies and stuff like that. Like, as a kid, you're watching, like, you know, Disney movies and... You know, and they all lived happily ever after. Like, that's always the... They always lived happily ever after, obviously.
Obviously.
You just see them going off into the sunset, and then they live happily ever after, the end. Mm-hmm. You know? And then you even just, like, Lifetime movies, Hallmark movies, like, you know, rom-coms.
Yes.
You know, where it's, like, it's just so cute and lighthearted and fuzzy, and it's not It's not real.
Definitely not real, Chelsea.
It's not real.
Not at all.
And it's like, if people are just like, oh, I just want to be married because it looks like it's going to be so nice. Like, you know, I just want somebody to love me and we're just going to have so much fun together and we're going to have movie nights and date nights and, you know, matching PJs and photo shoots and all these things. And it's like, all those things are included. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But that's not what marriage is. That's like some fun that you have while being married.
Yes.
Literally.
It's a benefit.
It's a benefit. It's almost like the overflow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of, but it's not what marriage actually is.
Yeah.
Marriage is two becoming one flesh.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, if that's what you're doing, that part is actually work.
Wow.
And I've never seen anybody jump up and down like, yay, I have to get a job.
Yeah, not at all.
Never seen nobody do that.
Somebody.
I mean, somebody. Yeah. I mean, even if you're passionate about it, there's going to be some days that you get up and be like, dang, I wish I didn't have to go to work today, but I got to earn this money. So, you know, here we go. Let me drag myself. You know, marriage can get like that.
Yeah.
It can get like that where I don't feel like it today. Even if it's not the whole day you don't feel like doing it. There can just be moments throughout the day where you're like, I don't feel like being one flesh right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't feel like being considerate of someone else and having someone else be a part of me.
Right.
And everything I do affecting them and them having to be okay.
Yeah.
I just want to be me and just do what I want to do and me be okay.
Wow.
Which requires a lot less.
It does. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like if we're jumping up and down, it's like it is something to look forward to.
Yeah.
It is beautiful.
Yes.
And there's many benefits. Like you said, there's many benefits and all that fluff is real.
It is.
If you have a healthy marriage.
Right.
All that fluff is real. Do it. You know.
Do it.
But like just know that that's not it.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not. And I literally had the imagery because I've heard this so many times for years that marriage is meant to make you wholly, not happy.
Yes.
And I literally came to the conclusion right now. It's like it's because it's a reflection of Christ in the church, which is obvious. But his job is making us holy.
Yeah.
He's sanctifying us day by day and making us more and more into what we need to be.
Yes.
And thus, so is marriage. But in order to do that, you have to address issues.
Yeah.
And be willing to change them. How are you going to be willing to change an issue if, number one, you can't even call it an issue? unless God. Here's the key. God has always been the ultimate authority. It's what Frank Turek, I believe his name is Frank Turek, always talks about, that there is no morals without God. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just people with opinions.
Yes.
Even if you feel like it's not coming from God, it's like, no, there's a deeper moral value to it. And Myron Golden would say, if God said it, then that's enough. And if he didn't say it, then nothing matters.
Right.
Right? It's things that's only a sin. If I can come up with something, you can say something is right or wrong. I'm like, okay, well, what about this? And you'll be like, oh, well, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll say, you know, well, I don't, anything heinous. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. Because I didn't want to use his examples, but, you know, you could do anything.
God is greedy.
No, we're talking about sin.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Right?
I see.
And it's like, if I say,
ain't nothing wrong with being a drunk.
Yeah, nothing wrong with being a drunk. And then the people are like, well, yeah, it is. And he'd be like, well, why?
Uh-huh.
Oh, because it's not right. Huh? So who said that?
Right, right.
And eventually you'll get back to, well, God said it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how far you go back. It's just like, well, you're going to get to the point where God said it.
Mm-hmm.
So in your marriage, if God said it, it has to have some weight to it. But if you don't have the relationship,
wow,
you ain't ready. You ain't ready for marriage.
Right.
What marriage? You're not ready for the oneness.
That's good. I just said to a friend of mine that was saying there was like an issue in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, have you actually like showed that to them in the Word of God? Because what would they say to that? If you show it to them in the Word.
Yes.
Are they going to then argue with the Word?
They will if they don't know God.
If they don't know God, they will.
Uh-oh.
If they do know God, they then have to, you're able to hold them accountable,
right,
to the Word. And vice versa, though. Mm-hmm. It can't be a one-sided thing. But like, if you both are in the Lord, you both can hold each other accountable and say, hey, but the Word of God says ABC, you know, and it's like, well, what are they going to, how else would they respond other than, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry, cleanse my heart.
That don't say segue. That's Segua. That's Segua. Jesus from the Valley of Segua in Galilee.
Terrible.
No. Yes, absolutely. It cannot be discounted. Mm-hmm. And it does not mean that everything is going to be easy. It literally means there's accountability that supersedes human authority.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't just speak, because eventually human authority will eventually boil down to opinions,
mm-hmm,
irregardless. But God's authority will boil down to what's right or wrong.
Wow. That's so true.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Amen. Number four is physically.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we don't always think about.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to do it? And not just sex.
Right.
But sex as well.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you find yourself like, hey, am I even physically capable of the day to day as a man or as a woman? As a man, I'm required to work and support the family and do what I can. It doesn't always mean necessarily going out and building houses, being a fireman, something right, husky, but it means just being abled, being a woman, saying, am I, you know, somebody wants to have children. Am I able to have children? And that's not casting aspersion on women who may not have the ability. That's not what I'm saying. But if you do have the ability, do you have the physical capabilities to like care for children?
Mm-hmm.
And things that must really actually be considered. And literally, when I said physically, the first thing I literally thought was actually sex. It's like, you're going to be doing it. Like, some people don't actually have the physical ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually like to tie health into that.
Mm-hmm.
Physically and healthy. Are you healthy enough in marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Are you healthy enough to just have life? For somebody to look at you and say, yeah, I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Mm-hmm.
And feel like, well, this could be a good amount of time.
Wow.
Or feel like, you may only have 10 years left.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's something people don't really talk about.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, in preparing to get married.
Yeah.
I'm sure a premarital counselor somewhere would bring that up. But like, I don't think that's something I really thought about, as far as just like.
Right.
You know, like, because you have to, because, okay, let's say somebody is disabled in some way to like physically work. Or to have sex, or to do housework of any sort,
yes,
or to drive,
wow,
or to, you know, or someone has a terminal illness, or not even a terminal illness, but just like a lifelong
chronic illness,
like a chronic illness or disease or whatever. Those are all things that you have to really, And we can, in the high of things, be like, oh, I can do anything because I just love you.
Wow.
But it's like, but they are going to get on your nerves one day or 10 or 10,000. And and then you're not going to feel as fuzzy about, but I can do it because I love you so much.
Negative.
You know, it's like once that infatuation fades, it gets harder.
Yeah.
It gets harder to have to do what your spouse requires of you,
yeah,
what they need from you and all of that. And especially if you're going to get into a situation where you're going to have to bear a lot of the load because they can't do something.
It's tough.
And then when it comes to sex, you know, I mean, that's kind of hard because we definitely, as Christians, preach that abstinence is best before marriage. It's kind of hard to know whether or not you are able to, if you are abstinent.
Okay.
You know, so that's kind of hard to know in advance, but it's something to think about.
Yeah.
That you don't want to take it for granted.
Oh, yeah.
That once you get married, sex is going to be awesome. It's like, what if listen, they're impotent? Sir. What if she's sterile? What if, you know, those are things you, and it's like, are you still going to be willing to be married to this person and work it out and stay together?
Yeah. I think the sterile or barren, that's something you can't really know.
Is that a bad word to say? I'm not always good at like politically correct terms.
I think sterile was more, I think that seemed like, I don't know. I would have said barren because the Bible says barren.
Right.
So I'm going with the Bible.
Okay.
Right. And if a man, men get erections, well, most men get erections constantly. Like I get, you know, well, I'm sorry. Maybe that was too personal. I'm sorry. But it is what it is. Men get, like in the morning, you'll have one or sometimes at night, you know, you just get erections.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if your stuff works, not necessarily internally.
Right.
Right. But you know, if you can get an erection, then you can get an erection.
Well, but getting an erection, does that mean it can happen on command? Like spontaneously? Does that naturally mean it's going to happen when you need it to happen?
It should.
Oh, okay.
There are other factors.
Mm-hmm.
Nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
Have mercy. But health.
Mm-hmm.
Health is literally blood flow, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously the worse, the less healthy you are physically capable, you have, you know, clogged arteries, veins that have blockages and things like that. It means your blood isn't flowing the way it should and prevents you from having an actual erection, right? This is stuff that has to all be considered.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying.
Just know there's a possibility.
There's a possibility.
That things might not go as smoothly as you thought.
Yeah.
And it happens more often than people think.
Right. But this is the key, Chels, is that because some things you can't do anything about, right?
Right.
But there are a lot of people who you can.
Yeah.
It's like, I can physically prepare myself for the task of marriage and actually be available and avail myself to my spouse.
Wow.
And say, all right, I'm going to be healthy for her sake.
Wow.
Or for his sake.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are going to need me and I need to be available.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. If you can do it, like if you have a chronic disease, you know, barring a miracle and God healing you from it, you're going to have it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about that. But there's something you can do about everything.
Yeah.
It may not be super significant, but you can do something.
Yeah. Because even if it's like, God forbid you have Crohn's or something like that, you cannot be putting hot sauce on all your food.
Can't do it.
You know, it's like you can decide that that's not something you're going to do. Stuff like that, you know, if you're diabetic, you can decide that you don't have to have cake after every meal.
Have mercy.
You know, it's like you can. So, like, I agree with that where it's like you, man, I never really thought about it that deeply as far as like having your health in mind for your spouse.
Yeah.
Because we really only think about our health for ourselves for the most part, I think.
True.
Like, I need to be healthy because I need to take care of me. Man. It's like, no, you're actually taking care of
somebody else.
Someone else.
And your body is no longer, especially once you get married, your body is no longer your own.
So what, 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Yeah.
You like, know, that's my.
We know.
I know where that is.
You know where
it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Yes, your body belongs to me.
Yeah.
And
vice versa.
Yeah, just something definitely to keep in mind because physical is so important. We take it for granted, especially because typically you get married when you're young.
Right.
And you don't necessarily think about that. But you think about, I'll say Miss J, and you know her husband who recently passed. You know, he had physical capabilities. They probably were a lot more aware because they were renewing vows. I forgot.
Right.
But, and you know, just that physicality. You know, we just take it for granted. We know we do. Mm-hmm. And it's just important to take note of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And be prepared to know that that's what, because that's a personal readiness thing. Am I ready to take on, because my spouse could be diagnosed with cancer a week after we say I do.
Could.
Are you? Do you really want to be committed to that person, not for what they can give you, but because you want to love them?
Yeah, I feel like that's more.
That's huge.
That is huge. That is huge. I don't know what that would stand for. That seems very spiritual.
I mean, but I think about Dominique and Marcus, and they're very public about that.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, I don't know how long after they got married, but it was not that long.
Yeah.
After they got married, and they got married in their 20s.
Right.
And Dominique was diagnosed with breast cancer. This is Dominique and Marcus Valentine. You can very easily find them on social media and everything. But yeah, she very shortly after that was diagnosed with breast cancer that was advanced. And she had to go through, like you know, lost all her hair, lost a bunch of weight, chemotherapy, all that type of stuff. And her husband really, really had to take care of her.
Yeah.
Like she was down and out.
She was down.
You know, and it was, you don't expect that when you're, and they say that, like, they were on the Ellen show and they said that on there, like, we didn't expect that to happen.
Of course not.
When we're in our 20s and we just got married.
Yes.
We were ready to go off into wedded bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And then cancer. Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine that.
That's just something to have in mind. Like, you really, if you're ready, that means that's what you're ready for.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's so hard to even
know.
But being aware of it is probably the first step.
That's the first step.
Yeah. So this is number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Ready sign is being relationally ready, meaning this. You have and know how to establish healthy boundaries.
Hmm.
Meaning this. When you get married, it is a natural inclination to have people be a part of your marriage. Just like you have friends and you want to talk to them about how things are and you want to get their feedback. I mean, you may not say that, but you do. Like, oh, what is their man doing?
Uh-huh.
What is she doing? Mm. You know, oh, my goodness. And then you can kind of, this funny part is you can weigh the friends and be like.
You might be lying.
You might be lying. Or
exaggerating.
You're probably the problem here. But you still want to know what's going on. Great. Right. But establishing a healthy boundary is that your marriage is your marriage and that somebody else's marriage may be something that you can mirror, but it's still their marriage.
Yeah.
And your mother is not in this marriage. Your father is not in this marriage. Sister, brother, uncle, cousin, niece, aunt, pastor, bishop, apostle, pope, cardinal. The only person welcome in this relationship other than me and you is the Lord.
Wow.
God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is above this and he is the one that has it in place in the first place. And that is not to say that you avoid sound counsel.
Right. And that you don't seek it when necessary.
Right. But it is to say they are not married to anybody in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they don't get to say anything.
Right.
They don't get to say y'all need to be doing this. It's fine for them to say it, but they don't have say.
Right. They can't decide.
You cannot decide. This is your counsel. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that.
I'll take it into consideration.
Y'all don't need to be living in no bi-level. Y'all need to be living in a townhouse. Yeah, y'all need to go ahead and take care of that. Be like, actually, sir, your name is not on anybody's wedding license, marriage license. You need to go get you a townhouse.
Right.
Because I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Right.
And that's a hard pill to swallow, Chels.
It is.
Especially when you have people that love you and they actually want the best for you.
That's true, because so, they mean and well.
Yeah, they mean well. But then in an effort, they're overstepping and they're circumventing and actually tearing at the foundation of the marriage.
Mercy.
Because they're trying to do, hey, I know what's best for you. I know. So what y'all need to do is stop what you're saying. That's what we should do. You should hush and let us figure these things out. Once again,
keep us in prayer.
Mm-hmm. It's just like you can't, certain people cannot decide for you. Sound counsel is great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But even after people give you sound counsel, you have to take it to each other and come up with what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Praise God. Well, amen to that one.
Amen.
Okay, number six. Community.
Seven?
This is six. Oh. That was five.
Oh.
This is six. You can't count this week.
Sorry.
It was me last week. Community. Are you ready? Communicatively. Not communicatively, but communally.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
You have a couple or couples or friends who are married and can give you a solid look at it and help navigate.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost goes hand in hand with relationally. But you having relationships speaks more to you being able to establish boundaries and be able to put people in their proper place to say, this is a friend. Mm-hmm. This is a close friend.
Mm-hmm.
This is a comrade.
Mm-hmm.
This is a person who can give me counsel.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody who can pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
These are all boundaries, and I put them in their place. I don't say to my comrade, hey, pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, they're not there for that. They're somebody who agrees with you
mm-hmm.
and can help you in work,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not necessarily a prayer warrior.
Right.
And my prayer warrior is not necessarily somebody who I get counsel for marriage because they're not married.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. It could be.
They may not be married.
Yeah.
And if they are, I don't know, maybe they don't have a good marriage, but they can pray heaven down.
Mm-hmm.
You pray for me. You pray for me. But you over here, you have a sound marriage. Okay, let me get some marriage advice from you.
Right.
You over here, you have financial, but your marriage sucks.
Yeah.
So keep your marriage advice and give me finance advice, okay?
That's so true.
Those are the boundaries. And mother, I'm not married to you.
Mm-hmm.
Father-in-law, mother-in-law, I'm not married to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're over here, boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Communally is I actually have these people.
Yeah.
I don't just have the idea like, oh, man, I wish I had somebody to talk to about marriage. That's bad, right? You can get stuff off of YouTube, but it's a lot better to get stuff from people you know if you can. I have somebody who says, hey, this is how you do finances. I have a pastor and his wife that can help us navigate.
Mm-hmm.
Because marriage is like a, you know, it's like being on an ocean.
Yeah.
You don't know where the wind and waves is coming from. You know they're coming.
Yeah.
You don't know where they're coming from. You know Jesus is on the boat. Hey, Jesus was tired, Chelsea. He slept a lot.
Yeah.
How cocky are you? Like, how cocky do you have to be?
He would sleep on purpose.
Listen, I don't know if he was sleeping on purpose or he was just tired from being up all night.
He went to sleep on purpose. He knew that was coming, and he's like, I need them to be frantic.
That's very funny.
Nah, I don't need them to be frantic. I have to give them a chance to realize, look here. Look at y'all.
Yes. Look at y'all.
Acting crazy as if I'm not on the boat.
But he's on the boat, but this is the key. He's on the boat and he's calm.
Mm-hmm. He's asleep.
He's first of all.
That's the most trusting state you can be in.
Literally. Like,
you don't go to sleep when you're unsure.
This is why my father is such a man of faith. I literally shared this with him.
Okay.
I literally shared this with them a couple of weeks ago when we went to South Carolina and we had a three-vehicle caravan. I forgot about Sharona. So that's even funnier to me. Because what was they looking at to see? So here's the scenario. It's a two car. In my mind, it's two car, but it's three cars. I got a car behind me and a car and a van in front, a big white van at that in front that's leading the way to South Carolina from New Jersey. And we're leaving in the middle of the night because I have a small child who doesn't like to sleep. So I figured, hey, doesn't like to be in her car seat for long periods, right? So now we say, all right, well, let's leave early. So that way she'll be so tired she can't fight with the car seat. We'll just leave in the middle of the night, get down there, and we're good. People agree. Praise God. However, nobody really had the ability, at least I didn't, to actually go to sleep and be like, oh, I'm refreshed now for the evening. We'll just go and I'll be fine. No, not at all. So we go and I'm still dog tired. I tried to go to bed early. I don't think it worked out. I probably got a few hours and just like, all right, well, let's just do it. And we get that. Did you drive first?
No, I feel like Michelle. Well, you weren't with me.
I was on the way down, right?
Oh.
On the way down, we were in the same car.
When we got lost? Or when you
I didn't go to, I don't know what happened. The Lord did it. what happened was at some point I think you drove first and I switched with you. I was the first person to switch with you. Or either I drove first and we switched pretty early because I was too tired, or you drove first. And eventually you said to me, all right, I'm fate. and okay. we needed to switch. But what happened, and then shout out to Linda, my mother. Linda did like she did like a solid hour and was like, I just she did a solid hour of driving, and it wasn't even, I think it was normal time at that point. She just, I just can't do it. Horrible. But there's a certain point in the middle of the night where we are following a white van. I find myself waking up talking about, I don't know where the van went.
Waking up.
I have no idea. And
that highway hypnosis is real when listen, you're tired.
When I say I have no idea what happened to them, I mean, I don't know how long I was asleep, and I don't know where we were. Mm-hmm. I know we was on 95, we was behind them, and at some point we was not behind them. Could not tell you when this happened or what happened during that period. Don't know what time it was. I have no idea. And I literally woke up like, oh, where are they at? I have no idea. I called terrible. Them. I called them. He's like, yeah, we on something. I'm like,
meanwhile, they didn't even notice.
They ain't even notice either.
Terrible.
And meanwhile, Sharona behind me, I guess she ain't noticed neither. That's terrible. Horrible. But this is all to say, literally, my father is in the back seat, gone. Completely gone.
The whole ride.
Whole ride.
He slept the whole way down.
Whole way down. Did not wake up for anything. Completely fine. Like, nah, it doesn't matter. We'll get down there. The Lord has us. Mm-hmm. And here he is, Jesus of the Nissan Road. And he's completely asleep, and he's perfectly fine. It's just the fact that
he didn't even know that happened, right?
I think he did later.
Oh, okay.
But not at the time. He didn't know because he was with the Lord. But to think just the Lord is like nothing inside of them said, oh, he's sleeping. He's calm. Mm-hmm. He is like none of this is catching him off guard. They were more focused on the winds and the waves. And it's hard not realizing, wait, but he's right there.
That's so interesting too, because that's just like us. Like all that stuff happens, and there, yeah. I picture I'm a very visual person, so mm-hmm. I picture everything, and I'm picturing them up there, like, all right, you know, get the buckets, get mm-hmm. to this, you know, what are we gonna do, trying to fix it and everything, and I'm like, why wouldn't the first thing you do,
yes,
be Jesus?
Hey, man,
immediately, yeah. First of all, with a total calm. First of all, with like totally calm, totally at peace, just, hey, Jesus, we have this thing going on. What should we do?
They didn't know who he was, Chelsea.
They didn't know who he was.
And there it is.
They didn't know who he was.
There lies the rub.
Yep.
So now we're trying to do. You're trying to build a house and you don't know that your father is a carpenter. You're trying to build a business and you don't know that the Lord is the bank manager for the loan. Like, you don't know. You think you don't know who he is. This mm-hmm. is why our relationship with God has to be of utmost. Because now when we have an issue, we go to the problem solver.
Yeah. Immediately. As opposed to,
right? Yeah. Like,
but that takes practice for it to get immediate.
It does take practice. But it also takes actual relationship.
Experience.
For you to know him and say, hey, could you help me with this? Mm-hmm. And to even have the wherewithal or even the awareness to be like, oh, this is an issue I can't handle. I ain't talking about, like, what do I need to eat for dinner?
Right.
I don't have no food. I have to go to the grocery store now. I don't know how I'm going to do such and such.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask the Lord. As opposed to, man, I wish somebody would pray for me. Mm-hmm. No. You talk to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Amen. Communally. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you gotta. Mentorship is important.
Yeah.
Mentorship.
Yeah.
And like equally yoked. You don't only want to be equally yoked with your spouse. You want to be equally yoked with your friends too.
That's a great, excellent point.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
Like, you know, and even family members, and that can get so tricky because people are like, "But that's my blood." It's like, yeah, love them.
Yeah, love them.
But you don't have to seek counsel from them. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Yes.
Nor sits in the what.
Nor stands in the way of sinners. Sits in the seat of the scornful.
Right. Your delight is in the law of the Lord.
There you go.
You know, and you don't want to be getting counsel from anything apart from the word of God.
There you go.
So if you have, like, you know, family members who are just, you know, still in the flesh, you know, and aren't really like people, if, you know, saved.
Yeah.
People who are seeking the Lord, you know, saved and seeking the Lord. Let's talk about that separate, saved and seeking, you know, because that's not two in the same. It's not one in the same. But like, you want to be like getting counsel from people who are seeking God.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Even, and that's, and it's not hard for me just because even to, you know, just today seeing some of my mom's side of the family, it's just like, it's all good, but you know, it's not, but there's certain things that just like, I don't, you know, I don't drink.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be around drinking
because
I feel like it's part of the reason, you know, that families have issues. And in that family, it's like, y'all have issues based off of this. Bad things have happened based off of this. It's like, I don't want to be around it. And so now if it's like, that's most of the time I see it. That's what y'all doing. Cool. I'll just give you a little handshake, that. And, you know, I'll go on about my business. And it ain't got nothing to do with y'all. It's just like,
yeah, I love
my
you.
My environment is not this. So I don't want to be around it. Yeah.
And people don't want to face the fact that, like, you still have to have something in common.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you don't make friends with someone you have nothing in common with.
Yeah.
Like, in any other, like, if it's not your blood relative, it never makes sense in any other setting for you to hang out with people you have nothing in common with.
Yeah.
But then people look at you cross-eyed because, but that's your family. It's like, no, I love you.
Yeah.
I want you to, I wish well for you. I pray for you. You know, I'm happy to see you.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we have anything in common. We can't be like super duper close if we have nothing in common.
Yeah.
That's just, and it's people trying to force that on people is interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. It can be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have mercy. And finally, mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Being mentally prepared, meaning you have, and what does it say? Well, I wrote it. Able to put the needs of someone else over yours.
Mm.
It's at the heart of marriage.
Yeah.
In that, a perfect marriage, well, let me not say perfect, but maybe it is perfect. A perfect marriage is a marriage that that reflects God's relationship with his children perfectly. And he has put literally our needs over anything that he could ever need from us.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, he wants, that's the amazing thing, he wants things from us, but he does not demand them. And he doesn't actually need anything from us, but he wants things from us.
Yeah.
But he puts himself in a position to say, okay, I'm going to supply their need and I'll give them the choice if they want to do it back.
Yeah.
That's hard.
That is exactly what he does. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm not going to stop knocking.
Nope. Not going to stop knocking, but I'm not going to force my way in.
Right.
And completely able to. And that is so hard to say, get up every day and say, you know what, I'm going to meet the needs of my wife today. If she meets mine or not.
Wow.
It's a perfect, it's, I ain't going to say it's perfect, but it's a perfect reflection of Christ in marriage.
Yeah.
And that it's not self-seeking. It does, love does not seek its own.
Yeah.
It's seeking the welfare or the well-being of you.
Yeah.
And to say inside yourself and mentally, like mental capacity, and say, I am mentally prepared to not seek my own.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the biggest signs of actually being ready for marriage.
Mm-hmm. And I would say too, mentally would count for like knowledge.
Oh yeah.
You know, actually being knowledgeable of what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it is that.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the key. Even if I don't go in, this is crazy. Even if I don't go in with that, it's still going to happen. If I don't go in with that mentality, there's still going to be times where I do for you and then I don't feel reciprocated enough to feel like, oh well, you know, like it was worth it, like I didn't feel used.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Even if they don't want it to happen, it's still going to happen. You're going to find yourself in a position where you feel like you're doing more than is being reciprocated to you.
Mm-hmm.
And now, are you mentally prepared to keep going? Or do you find yourself where a lot of people keep finding themselves, feeling like it's a one-sided marriage?
Right.
This is a one-sided marriage. I'm doing everything.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus.
Yeah.
What are you going to say to the Lord if you say anything to him? I know he'd be feeling like that, like a mug with me. Mm-hmm. My Lord.
With all of us, I'm Lord, like, Jesus.
Lord, have mercy.
Because the thing is, at the end of the day, he died for everybody. He so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever will let them come. Let's skip around.
Whoever,
but you know, but he died for everyone, knowing that not everyone
would
actually receive the gift of his death.
There you go.
And appreciate it.
There you go.
And say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
He heals the 10 and only one comes back and only says one. Thank you.
My God.
You know, but he heals the 10.
Yes.
You know, it's like he did it for everyone, whether they're going to, that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
He does it. He did it for everyone, regardless of what their response would be, knowing that only a few, you know, broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life. And there's few on it, on that road. You know, so it's like he knows that I did this for all, even though it's only going to count for a few.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. Yeah, that definitely is the mindset to have toward marriage, not going into it for what you can get out of it, but for what you can give to it.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about.
Amen.
And I'm thinking too, you said love doesn't seek its own, which is in 1 Corinthians 13. And I think the very next part said is not puffed up.
It's not too proud.
It's not proud. And I think seeking your own, it stems from pride, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, because it's this what I deserve
what
and
I
what
deserve.
I've earned. And, you know, just like, oh, I'm better than this. And the world is really like pushing that point of view.
Oh, yeah.
This day and age,
you
what
deserve.
I deserve.
Yeah.
You're deserving of.
Blah, blah, blah.
Of X, Y, Z. It's like, in reality, we deserve nothing.
Yeah.
And it's not that there's nothing that we do that doesn't cause. There's cause and effect, you know, in a lot of ways. You know, it's not to say that nothing we do counts for anything or won't be rewarded or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But what you do that is wrong undercuts everything you do that's right.
Certainly.
It, like to look at yourself as a whole being.
Right.
You know, you can't say I'm deserving.
Oh, yeah. Because then we have to say you're deserving of all of it.
Right, right. You have to look at yourself in totality and say like, oh, well, that means I do no wrong and I've done everything to deserve what is right. No, you've done some things to deserve
certainly
destruction, to deserve death.
Mm-hmm.
The wages of sin is death.
Certainly.
You know, but the gift of God.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, okay, all of that just always gets undercut by the flaws, by the sin. And, you know, but when we start looking at ourselves as like, oh, but I do this for you and I do that for you. And, you know, I'm so good to you and I'm so good for you. And I'm just such a catch because who, you know, everything that I am, you know, and all of that. And like, you should be loving me and appreciating me and reciprocating, you know, like I deserve this from you. It's like if you're prideful, if you don't humble yourself, you know, I was just looking at a picture that was floating around on social media of Jesus washing all these different people's feet.
Mm.
It was like people from all different cultures, backgrounds, genders, and, you know, sexualities and faiths and religions, everything. And it was really beautiful to see because that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth. He humbled himself and died on a cross for us all, you know, and that's the humility that he showed there is like beyond what we are capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are not capable of humbling ourselves to the degree that he did, you know, literally just leaving heaven and setting down your godship.
Yeah.
we can't even do that if we wanted to, but like we wouldn't be able, you know, but like literally coming down and then physically washing people's dirty feet. That's just, you know, that was Jesus. And it's like, we're supposed to be, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And we're just like, well, I ain't cooking you no breakfast because you don't never cook me no breakfast.
That is our natural inclination. Certainly.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. And the filth of the feet is complete. It's actually worse than we think. I mean, I only washed feet one time in church.
Hmm.
And it wasn't really a foot wash. It was kind of just, they kind of just sprinkle water. And it's like, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'd rather y'all really wash the foot if you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because our feet aren't filthy like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't walk around in sandals in the desert.
Yeah.
Where
for days.
For days and weeks on end and bathe when we can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their feet were filthy.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat there and washed their feet. Yeah, you washing I'm washing a washed foot.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, I appreciate it. Even still, it still was humbling, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Yes. Do us a favor. Give a like, subscribe, give a share. These are the signs that you need to look and see if you have these. Like, look at these are the ready signs of marriage. All of them. And if you have them, you probably are ready for marriage. If you don't, you still might be ready, but you just mm-hmm. got to take stock, see what's going on. Yeah. All right. If you avoid these, you can avoid disaster. You can avoid a divorce. And if you have them, you have a wonderful marriage that's not centered on you getting, but you giving.
Mm-hmm. I just remembered I told you earlier that I just had one.
Oh, okay.
So Ron compiled this list this week, which was a great list. No, I only had one thing to say about this, and it was that if you know you're with the one, and I say that if you're like a spirit-led person, mm-hmm. if you are like a prayerful and, you know, in the word, in fellowship, under teaching, mm-hmm. you know, if you're like a disciple, you know, and you feel in your spirit, confirmed in your spirit, at peace in your spirit, that you're with the one for you, mm-hmm. then you're ready.
Okay.
That's how I feel, because I feel like as long as you're being spirit led and like humbling yourself before the Lord, and that has to be both of you, mm-hmm. you know, but if both of you are really seeking God and you feel and you've asked God,
yeah.
you know, and you feel at peace and you're like, yeah, like this is who I'm supposed to be with. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord has confirmed it for me in whatever way. And so I know I'm with the one. I feel like you're ready, because what's really important is that you're always open mm-hmm. for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and change you.
Certainly.
And just knowing that you're in the will of God.
Well, yes, you have to be in it.
Yeah.
At least trying to be in it, you know, definitely.
Well, as far as that being your spouse.
Led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit is, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God.
Yeah.
For you did not receive, did I say that right? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you instead received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the Spirit himself bears witness mm-hmm. with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
And if children of God, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That if we suffer with him, that if we indeed suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. There it is, the suffering indeed is that you had to be like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes towards the last point once again.
Amen.
Suffering like Christ did, where he had to be selfless
mm-hmm.
completely.
Mm-hmm.
And there nobody was like, you deserve it, Jesus. You know what? You deserve for these people to just go to hell.
Mm.
And you just go on about your business because you don't. And he literally did and was like, no, Father, forgive them.
They don't know what they're doing.
They don't even know what they're doing. When was the last yeah. time you said that to your partner?
Wow.
Father, forgive them. I ain't going to worry about it. They don't even understand.
Yeah. So I guess in summary, I'm saying you're ready if you're yielded.
Amen.
Because like he said, you may not check off everything on that list.
No.
Some people have been married 20 years and still ain't checked off everything
yes.
on that list. You may never check off everything.
That's true.
Not anything, excuse me. It can't be nothing.
Yes.
You may never check off everything on that list.
Yeah, but if you're yielded.
But if you're yielded and, yeah. and in, if you're a work in progress.
You can be led by the Spirit.
You can be led by the Spirit.
Yes.
And God just, he fills all those deficits.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll see y'all next week. Thank you for joining us.